My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the most respected healthcare policy firms in the United States. She has been our Obamacare expert for a number of years now, and she joins us today to discuss the major news that one of the nation's leading health insurance companies, Aetna, plans to cease participation in the Obamacare health exchanges. In fact, it will only participate in the exchanges in 4 of the 50 U.S. states. And Grace Marie, first of all, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Greg. And one of the reasons I think this is so important is that Aetna was all in trying to not only get the law passed, but also to try to make this work. And so with Aetna throwing in the towel, I think it really shows the way this law is structured, and particularly the way it has been implemented, just does not work.
Let's talk about how it doesn't work. First of all, for Aetna and other insurance companies, the report suggests that Aetna sustained a second quarter pre-tax loss of $200 million on its individual health care plans, although that does include all of the insurance plans it offers, not just in the Obamacare exchanges. So is that typical for what insurance companies experience in the Obamacare exchanges, or is Aetna unique in some way?
It is not an outlier, and in fact, most of the losses in its business have been in the exchanges. So even though that's across the board, that really is its exchange losses. They estimate they've lost about $400 million through their exchange business. United reported a week or two ago that they'd lost $300 million. The estimates are that they lost the altogether insurance cost companies lost $4 billion. In both 2014 and 2015. They are very likely losing the same amount in 2016, and they're basically saying we can no longer justify to our shareholders participation in these failing exchanges.
Grace Marie, the big question now is why? Because obviously the insurance companies love the idea of Obamacare, largely because of the individual mandate. If everybody has to buy insurance, that means they have a lot more customers, which theoretically means they should be making more money, but they're making far less. Why?
Well, several reasons. The way the law was structured in the first place, the individual mandate came with penalties, but they were really far too light to really incentivize anybody to purchase health insurance, expensive health insurance, overpaying the fine, number one. And then the Obama administration has done so much to destabilize the market. You know, allowing 26-year-olds to stay on their parents' plan meant that you were taking a huge number of healthy young people that would have gone into these exchanges, out of those exchanges, the ones who decided who would have purchased health insurance and not paid the penalty, and that meant that you were going to have older, sicker pools. Then they said that you can continue you can buy health insurance basically at any time during the year with any of 30 different explanations, and get in and out of the pool when you're sick. And one plan in Pennsylvania, for example, had 250 people that had health care costs in 1 year of more than $100,000. It takes many tens of thousands more people to make up for those kinds of losses. And what happened is that they found that people were going into the exchanges, purchasing coverage, getting this expensive treatment, dropping their insurance, and then if they felt like it, they'd get in the same pool the next year without having to pay any penalty. This is not insurance. This is basically saying that we will pay expensive medical bills while you pay a few hundred dollars a month in premiums, and then, you know, once you're done with your treatment, people can get out with no penalty to get back in the exchanges. All of those things mean that this is really not insurance. And that's what they were trying to pretend, that they were going to make this work on a private insurance basis. You cannot destabilize markets this way and expect it to work like an insurance market.
Grace Marie, Aetna is not the first insurance company to come to this conclusion. So how much have we seen options, choice, competition dwindle in just really 3 years here?
Well, what you're seeing is that in some states, Alabama, for example, you have basically one insurer that already dominated the market. You have in Arizona some places where you don't have any insurers now participating, and in some states you have insurers that they're only there because they feel they have a public responsibility. The Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, for example, many of them are nonprofit, and they feel an obligation to stay in the exchanges so that people at least have one choice. But then that's not the competition that they promised.
When it comes to the Obama administration's approach here, you obviously have a lot of people, and you may be one of them, who would say this is exactly what they knew would happen. And their goal is to show that private sector insurance can't handle the load, and so there has to be at least a public option, if not going full Bernie Sanders here. What's your read on that?
You know, I do think there are some people who believe that they thought, okay, well, we'll try to make a private insurance market work. We'll so foul it up that nobody could really possibly survive under this. We'll wind up with a death spiral, and then we'll get to the single-payer government-run healthcare system we want, because everybody will be saying, we want more government. People have had just about enough government with Obamacare. They realize when Washington is making the rules, taking away choices from individuals and doctors, so that bureaucrats are making decisions not only about what kind of health insurance they can have, but what health insurance they must buy. Expensive health insurance. For now, a bronze plan in many states is now an average deductible of $12,000. That's on top of the premiums and the co-payments that people have. That is not to them insurance, so they're just not going to buy it. But what I think this means with regard to government-run health care is that if Republicans were to hold even one House of Congress, House or Senate, the public option, any more government involvement in the health sector, is not going to get through Congress. And I think that the public will support that. Obamacare has never had a plurality of support. People don't like the government in charge of their health care choices. They like it even less after they see what it's done to their deductibles and to their premiums. I think they're going to be saying, we want another option. And fortunately, the House has been working all year on a plan called the Better Way that Speaker Ryan led to be able to come up with different options and different choices for people to purchase private coverage that they want in a truly competitive market, so that insurance companies are designing products that people want to buy, so they don't have to be forced to purchase it. It's affordable. It's the kind of coverage that works for them, instead of having these incredibly rich policies that government decided we all had to have, that no one can afford, that people only buy when they're sick, and then drop the coverage after they get the treatment they need.
Grace Marie, just a couple of quick questions in our remaining moments here. First of all, you referred to the death spiral. Briefly explain again what that is and whether you think we are in it, and if so, how far we're in it.
I think that the reason that people are so focused on this, on Aetna pulling out, is that that really is an indication that we are in the death spiral. And what that means is that you wind up with fewer and fewer healthy people in the pools, more and more sick people. And when that happens, the premiums have to go up and up and up. And we're seeing that also already in the request for insurance increase, premium increases next year. In some cases, 40, 50, 60% increases. That means that everybody in that pool is sick and expensive. And yes, we want to take care of them. But if you're going to pretend that this is insurance, you also have to have healthy people in the pool who purchase insurance to protect themselves if they should have high medical costs. People are saying it's just not worth it. When I have a $14,000 deductible, that to me, they say, is like not being insured. I'm just going to not be insured. I'm not going to pay $400, $500, $600 a month for a policy with a deductible that means that I have to pay the first $14,000 of my medical expenses before the insurance company pays the first dollar. They're saying that's not what I want. The healthy people are not buying health insurance. And that means that these pools go into a death spiral, which we anticipated in our book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. We said this is what was going to happen because we could see that the law itself, and particularly the regulations that have been developed since then, were designed to destabilize the functional mechanisms of insurance markets. And we've seen it play out. This is exactly what's happening now.
Last question, Grace Marie. You mentioned that Obamacare has never been popular. You've mentioned the very quickly rising premiums by huge percentages in some states. But right now, there doesn't seem to be this huge concern of a looming cratering of the healthcare system. So when do you think what you've described for the past few minutes will begin to dawn on the bulk of the population?
I think, Greg, many people already are feeling this and the high health insurance costs that they're experiencing. But this is really going to come home just before the November election, when people start to see their premium increases for next year. We're already seeing it with filings with state health insurance commissioners, but people are going to see it when they see that their premiums have gone from $500 a month to $800 a month, and that's going to happen just before the election. And people are saying, and even at the Democratic National Convention, one of the near attendant with the Conservative Action with CAP told us that even liberals are feeling that the cost increases with Obamacare are starting to really even further erode support for this law. So it's the cost increases for health insurance that people feel. It's going to happen just before the November election. This issue is surely going to have to come to more of a head than it already has in this presidential election cycle, and particularly in local and state races where members of Congress can say, we have a better way. We can go to a different kind of system. Let us take a shot at this. Remember, Obamacare was passed with only Democratic votes and slammed through with parliamentary tricks, and the public has never supported it. I think they'll be ready to listen to an alternative view, and that's what I hope we can have a debate on this fall.
We will find out. Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the most respected healthcare policy firms in the nation, and she has been our expert on Obamacare both before and since its passage in 2010. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.